Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The NCAA has some new rules, and here to help us make sense of what it all means is Sam Vecini. He is on Twitter at Sam_Vecini. He writes NCAA and NBA for The Athletic. Hi again, Sam. How are you?
Connor, Dan, how's it going?
It's great. This all looked like big stuff, and then the more I read, as far as the actual number of players and schools possibly affected, is it kind of a nothing burger?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, big picture, this doesn't affect a ton right now, I would say, especially right now, because some of the major stuff is incumbent upon other organizations getting involved and kind of making these things happen for the NCAA. Like, for instance, you can return to school after you get undrafted in the NBA draft kind of rule that they put into place. That's incumbent upon the NBA making a rule that says they won't sign players until the next college season ends after a player decides he wants to return to school. So that's not even enforced yet. You know, the agency representation thing for high school kids, that's not even enforced until the age limit goes into place. So there are so many caveats here. There are so many moving pieces here. It's such a haphazard kind of, move that it's much ado about nothing right now, in my opinion.
So this news broke. The NCAA threw this out in the last 15 minutes of our show yesterday. And I went home and read some things about, read at least as much as I could about it that afternoon. And I couldn't help but think, where does the NCAA get off in putting all of their problems on the NBA and USA Basketball? How is that a solution to their problems with agents and coaches and assistant coaches who pay players anyway?
It's incredible, isn't it? I mean, I can't make sense of it, so I certainly would be willing to hear your take on it. But, the thing here is that the NCAA is trying to stave off the inevitable, I think. They're trying to, make these changes that seem big and seem like they're doing something, while realizing, I think, that their ultimate problem is the amateurism model in general, mm-hmm. and the fact that these guys that are worth millions of dollars already, like RJ Barrett going to Duke next year, he is worth genuinely $50 million right now. If an NBA team wanted to sign him on the open market, they would have to pay $50 million over the course of 4 years at least. And until we allow kids to at least get more money, or at least a bigger piece of the pie, I'm not saying that $50 million is what RJ Barrett should get, but until he can get sponsored by Duke and maybe make money off of his likeness, these problems are going to persist. Like, saying that high school kids are going to be able to get agency representation without saying that they're going to be able to make money off of their own likenesses or make money in general, it's kind of insane and almost exacerbates the problem in many ways.
Pay the players. And that's when I struggle to talk coherently, frankly, about NCAA stuff, because over time, I just refuse to recognize the NCAA's right to exist. It is very difficult for me to get past the truth of its existence as a slave labor cartel that doesn't need to be. And all of this seems completely unnecessary to me. And I'm just not sure how I can contextualize some of this stuff, because by talking about it, I'm sort of granting their significance in a way that I flatly reject. I mean, do you grapple with that at all? Because it's just sort of this inertia. It's existed for so long that you want somebody to just take a hammer to the whole thing.
Yeah, no, I totally am on your side with this. I mean, that's why I tend to just write about the kids involved and write about NCAA or NBA prospects, and then write about the NBA. And, if I have to write tangentially about college basketball issues, I do. But, it's a ridiculous system, right? There's no other system in the world that has this happening. Like, Canadian players and hockey players, yeah, some of them play college hockey, but a lot of them play junior hockey where they actually make money in Canada. You can look at baseball players. They can go pro immediately and play in the minor leagues and make a little bit of money, at least, maybe not a lot of money in many cases. You know, you can look around the world at the soccer system. You can look at Australian football. Like, there are so many examples around the world that, you know, colleges aren't involved. Education isn't involved. And I'm right there with you. I don't think that education should be involved in the development of elite level athletes. I would like it to be separate. I would like those athletes to also get an education while they're training, but I don't think the two should be combined in the way that we train them and the way that it is right now.
I'd also like to see the baseball style draft, where instead of it just being undrafted players allowed to go back, let anybody draft it wherever. It makes signability an issue, and put it on the NBA teams to say, look, I'm not going to use the number two overall pick if I think you're going back to Duke. And probably you have that agreement with the player. You have the large signing bonus. You get them into your system. You are able to maybe better use your G League team and load it up with your draft picks. And this is going to be part of it, having an actual minor league system for some of these younger kids, the high school age kids. But have a guy saying, you know, I was drafted in the late first round. I'm going back to school. Why does it have to be undrafted?
Well, right now, the way that the NBA rules are, if a player is drafted in the first round or in the second round and then decides to go back to college, they would actually, those rights would still be owned by that NBA team on that same, you know, scale. If it's a first round pick, right, the NBA rookie scale still exists. So they would be tied to that scale until the year after their collegiate class matriculates through. So, you know, if you draft a freshman, he's actually, you know, an NBA team's, you know, quote unquote property. They have his rights for the next 4 years, basically. So I think that's something that the NBA could look into, to be sure. You know, another part of this is here that the NCAA has kind of opened up a little bit of a loophole here where kind of borderline kids, maybe late bloomers, if they can find a way to get through the NBA draft process undrafted, and it's a little bit easier than you would think, just given the way that the NBA rules set up, they can be unofficial and unrestricted, really, free agents who can sign with any team if they were to blow up the next year in college basketball. Like, Buddy Hield went from being a second round pick to being the National Player of the Year the next year. You know, you can imagine a situation where if he would have gotten through the draft, you know, his draft year, if he left as a junior and then went back to college and blew up, he'd be getting $10 million on the open market this year in the NBA and unrestricted free agency. It's just crazy to me that there was no communication between college basketball, the NBA, and USA Basketball here.
Talking about the changes in the NCAA rules for college hoops with Sam Vecenie of The Athletic here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Adrian Wojnarowski had the report that the NBA and USA Basketball, the top men, are a little upset with the lack of communication, like you mentioned, between their league and the NCAA. And I keep wondering, I know Adam Silver sent out the communique right before the NBA draft that we're expecting to remove the one and done in 2021, and then it became 2022. But they've got a bit of a silver hammer here, if you'll pardon me, to remove the NCAA. If they're really ticked at the NCAA, just get rid of the one and done now. I mean, if the NBA changes the rule, then all this crap that the NCAA is trying to do to the NBA and USA Basketball kind of goes away, doesn't it?
I think so, and I think that it's coming. The NBA, I think, is a little bit worried about competitive balance. There have been a lot of teams that have dealt picks in those drafts. There are a lot of teams that would be very angry if, you know, that rule came to pass immediately, because that first draft after they decide to change the one and done, that's going to be a very, very strong draft, because it's going to include essentially two recruiting classes, right? Instead of having the one recruiting class from the one and done or the one recruiting class from the age limit, you're going to combine those two together, and it's going to be a deeper draft and a stronger draft in general, because you're going to get like 10 one and done kids thrown into another draft. So it's a tough situation, I think, that Adam Silver's kind of trying to thread with the owners right now, but I think it's coming. Like, there's no question. Adam has been very clear on this, that changes are coming and the one and done is going to be no more. It's just whether or not it's 4 years down the road, 3 years down the road.
How much of this is just making official what is actually going on anyway? when you say, well, now you can talk to agents. They're talking to agents. I mean, how much of it is just saying that we know this is all going on. We know it has been and it's going to continue to go on. It's almost like marijuana legalization, where you're just kind of admitting it's been happening. And that, in that regard, that could be the start of something that gets closer to acknowledging what's actually happening.
See, I would agree with you on that, and I do generally agree with your point. This stuff's happening. You know, kids that are 15, 16 years old, they're talking to agents. You know, this stuff happens regularly. But then, you know, if you look through the rules here, it says that you have to terminate the relationship with the agent if you decide to go back to school. And it's just a very unrealistic scenario, right? This agent pays for you to travel all across the country. He pays $40,000 for you to get trained for the pre-draft process. And then you have to terminate the relationship with that person who gave you all of that money whenever you return to school. It's just not practical, in my opinion. And I think that that's kind of where the disconnect comes from, right? It's this naivety that the NCAA has in regard to the way that agents seem to run this business in many ways, especially for high-level NBA draft prospects. And it's almost like they keep their head in the sand on it and don't really understand the way that it works. And I think that the best example of that is that you look at the committee that they, you know, put together to put these changes into place. You had like Condoleezza Rice, and you had people like this that have no business being on a committee like that because they don't know the system involved. So it's totally ridiculous to me the way the NCAA went about everything from a process perspective.
So if we're going to play by these new rules and we come to some sort of agreement between the NCAA, NBA, and USA Basketball on the terms that the NCAA are offering, I find it unlikely. I would expect some tweaks to whatever they've put together here because of the umbrage the NBA and USA Basketball have taken. They're going to define these elite players, right? They're going to somehow define these elite players. How in the hell do you even start to define what makes an elite player? How many elite players there should be from year to year?
It's like Super 2 baseball free agency.
What in the name of God are they going to do? And how is USA Basketball even equipped to do this?
Well, I think that the best statement I heard on that came last night from the guy that you played at the top of your show, John Calipari. He said basically, you know, I talked to Jim Tooley, who is the CEO of USA Basketball, for people who don't know. He said, like, basically, we are not in a position to try and say who gets an agent and who doesn't. Like, I mean, the fact that they didn't confer with USA Basketball at the top of this and say, hey, are you guys equipped to do this even? Not alone, or let alone, will you do this? Are you even equipped to do this potentially? Is just totally crazy to me. Yeah, USA Basketball has no business doing this. USA Basketball, first and foremost, is sponsored by Nike. And there's this idea that the NCAA wants to minimize harmful outside influences that they also include into this being shoe companies. You know, Nike is heavily involved with USA Basketball. They're just going to be more involved there. Then you throw in the fact that the game is quickly becoming more international. DeAndre Ayton just went number one overall in the 2018 NBA draft. He has nothing to do with USA Basketball. He's from the Bahamas. Like, there's no connection there. Why is USA Basketball deciding whether or not DeAndre Ayton can have an agent or cannot have an agent? It just makes no sense to me whatsoever.
I didn't even think of that part. You got guys coming from, you know, Ukraine and Lithuania who happen to be playing for an institution of higher learning in this country. When you talk about it, Sam, in the way that you do, this becomes high comedy. This is farce in its needless expenditure of energy. And somebody just arriving from another planet, and you try to explain the NCAA, USA Basketball, and the college system that we're trying to prop up, it really is patently ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think we're a ways away from being able to get rid of it, just because I think we need to build up an infrastructure that makes sense for young kids to continue developing. I think that the NBA might be kind of floating a trial program internationally right now with these global academies that they have. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't surprise me if down the road that, you know, they try and do a test balloon of global academies in America, maybe, to see if, you know, we can find a better way to develop these kids. And then they're going to have to continue to build out the G League, as you guys mentioned. But You know, I still think we're a ways away from being able to get rid of the NCAA until we build up the infrastructure of what we need to actually develop kids in this country without the NCAA.
So, Sam, this is all convoluted and ridiculous in terms of the actual players that this elite designation and agent help is actually going to affect if these rules go into play. But there are also some larger issues like Title IX and general antitrust law that this may put the NCAA into more harm's way on if they execute it like this. Do you get any sense from anybody you've talked to that, I mean, I know Congress and the Senate is kind of locked up with some other things right now, but do you get any sense that people are going to look at this with a little askance and wonder whether or not that needs to be going on the way it is?
You know, I don't right now. I think everyone that I spoke with yesterday was just kind of focused on the, you know, farcical nature of these rule changes. I mean, in terms of Title IX, what you run into there is you probably can't have the schools pay the players. The best system there is to have them be able to make money off of their own likenesses and kind of go about it that way, just kind of make it, kind of an Olympic model in many ways. In terms of antitrust, I think that stuff has, been tried before and it hasn't really worked necessarily. I think we're still, like I said, I think we're still a ways away from being able to, kind of totally dump the NCAA. And to be honest, if the NCAA was totally dumped right now, I wouldn't feel full confidence in what is currently built up in terms of youth development. So it's kind of a necessary evil to me right now. And I hope that the NBA and USA Basketball and other entities continue to build up infrastructures that allow for the development of youth basketball. But right now it's kind of what we got, and it's terrible and it's awful and it's ridiculous and oftentimes, as it was yesterday, hilarious. But we kind of need it at least for the next like 10 years, I think.
Thanks, Sam. We really always enjoy having you on. That was we learned a lot.
Thank you.
The more that I hear, the more we learn, the sillier it all gets. But we appreciate your input nonetheless.
Anytime, guys.
Sam Vecini of The Athletic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.